This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've been pleased with his progress and where he's at.
Quarterback Russell Wilson, he will be released after the league year begins on March 13th.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Still to come, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman, Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy, plus Emmy award-winning actor Beau Bridges. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here on the Roku channel. If you want to watch us, I'm wearing something very purple. I should say that's for the radio audience that's listening. Right. Everybody's watching can see him. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks. We've got a fun show still in store. If you missed the first hour, Daniel Jeremiah, don't worry. We'll catch you up to speed when we re-air. Or there's our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. There's also the Rich Eisen Show collection page, which is a fancy video on demand service. Xavier Worthy, the fastest man in the history of the combine, is going to be zooming in middle of this hour. But we turn to our in-studio guest right here, somebody I ran into at the combine. One of our friends and longtime friends of this program from The Athletic and Fox Sports, Bruce Feldman. Good to see you, Bruce. How long were you at the combine? How long were you there?
Red-eyed in there Monday morning. Got out of there Friday afternoon.
What'd you pick up there? What do you got?
A lot. I think it's hard to come up trying to remember everything you gathered, because I think when I saw you, I was trying to remember, I had like an hour and a half conversation with TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Yeah, it's where I was. You stayed there for another hour,
TJ and I talked, so he is big in the youth football space, and yes. I coach my kid, and so we talked about that for like 30 minutes. Then we talked about a bunch of other stuff about receivers, and I mean, he's a great resource because he knows so much, and he's been working with a lot of top receivers and seen a lot of quarterbacks in this process. So yeah, it was, and that's, to me, that's the combine. Like you go around and you run into people. I love that experience of it. I saw people I hadn't seen in a long time. I saw some people I wasn't even thinking of seeing, you know, where it's like, mm-hmm. I bumped into your old football coach who's now with the Chargers.
Yes.
That wasn't setting up anything, but I just kind of caught up with him for a minute. It's just a great network. I like that city for it too.
Oh, it's great. I agree. The combine shouldn't be there for forever and a day. Jaden Daniels emerged as a mystery man, quite frankly, and everybody saw what he could do. Everybody saw him win the Heisman. He didn't work out. He wasn't there when the quarterbacks were working out. I honestly have learned nothing about him at the combine. At least Drake May, I heard from and I saw. Caleb Williams didn't work out at all. But he stuck till the very end. Like, he literally turned the lights out on Saturday, watched his teammates go through the drills. Can you help me on who Jaden Daniels is and what teams may be learning about him?
Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels from the start, when he got to ASU, and I don't know, 168 pounds or whatever he weighed.
Right.
And was on a program that was kind of reeling under Herm at that point. Got to LSU, made big improvement, and then made another huge stride as a passer. This past year, you know, they really embraced technology. It was interesting. Jack Marucci, who's, by the way, the same guy behind the Marucci Bats Empire, mm-hmm. is a longtime LSU trainer. And he is arguably the smartest guy I know who works in college sports. And they really got in on the front end of the, on the technology side, what it can do for quarterbacks with a company, I think, from Germany. That was doing some really cool stuff. They embraced it. It made a big difference with what Jaden did as a passer. And I think you'd see him in games and you'd see that he has this different gear. I don't want to say he's Lamar, because to me, Lamar is kind of one of one. But in terms of what he did last year, was pretty amazing to see how far he's grown as a passer mm-hmm. from the time he got to LSU. Now, it certainly helped that he had two elite receivers. I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. is spectacular. Malik Nabers is freaky as well. So on that side, I don't, you know, to me, this is such an interesting quarterback group, because obviously there's Caleb, you mentioned May, and then I think behind them, JJ looked really good, JJ McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. looked terrific. And I think it's a deep group, but it wouldn't surprise me if those guys who a lot of people are saying are like the fourth and fifth guys, depending on who you want fourth and who you aren't fifth, they may turn out to be better quarterbacks than a couple of those guys in the top three.
Well, obviously, those were the two quarterbacks that we saw last in college football. Those are the starters for the national championship game. But we were just talking before you were walking out here. Are we talking about McCarthy and Penix more? Because they worked out. They spun it. Like, if Drake May, if Jaden Daniels got out there, ran his 40, did the drills, spun it, and then we'd be talking about him as, why isn't he maybe the first overall pick while Caleb sat, you know? That, and again, this may just be the media battle that you, the PR battle that might be an important piece to anybody's campaign to get drafted as high as possible, or not at all.
I think if those other guys threw, I still think Penix would have been the guy that DJ would have been raving about and other people would have been going. Because when you see him throw in person, I get it, he's left-handed, and sometimes people's optics think it comes out looking a little different. To me, Penix throws it, nobody throws it better in this group, whether they threw on Saturday or not. Obviously, Joe Milton had the biggest arm, yeah, but in terms of just how he throws the ball, I think Penix is remarkable. And by the way, Penix didn't run the 40. I will say this. So one of the quarterbacks I've gotten to know over the years is Keaton Slovis, former USC, now BYU quarterback.
He was out there too.
And Keaton ran really well. Keaton ran 4.55. And I think that, like, if you were a Pitt fan or a USC fan, you're like, whoa. Well, Keaton's in a group, Les Spellman, who's one of the best combine trainers, you know, speed guys in the country. So he had a group of a lot of quarterbacks that were out here in Southern California. And Jaden's in that group and Penix is in that group. And hopefully not speaking out of school here, Keaton, but like a couple of, like a week and a half ago, they did a mock combine. And I think Keaton ran maybe 4.60, which obviously ran even faster when it mattered. But at one point we talked about Penix. He was like, he's going to really surprise people. He goes, 4.5, maybe 4.4. And he didn't run. But he really can run. And I think, again, I don't want to stand here, I'm stumping for Michael Penix Jr., but I think he is, to me, he's the most interesting guy in the draft because he was the guy who actually, I used my Heisman vote on him. I think I had Jaden too, but what he did with that program was remarkable. And to see how he threw it, not surprised, because that's what we've seen him do. He wasn't great against your alma mater. He was great against Texas, and he was great almost against everybody else, though.
Well, I'll push back a little bit. I thought he was great against Michigan. Michigan obviously had a terrific defense. I think he also got his ankle stepped on, unfortunately for him, at the very beginning of the second half. I'm wondering how healthy he was for the rest of the game. But that dude can figure out a defense pre-snap really well. I mean, he's using his experience very well. I don't know, man. Raiders sitting there at 13. You got the Saints sitting there.
Don't overthink it.
You know,
don't overthink it if you're them.
Right?
I mean, I think he's awesome. The other thing I love about him is, and we talked about this probably a month ago, of all the guys, especially the quarterback position, usually, and DJ and I talked about this because this is a story I did and I interviewed him for it, was Penix faced real adversity that really shook him for a minute. And he came through the other side. He's really candid talking about it. And he's faced it and dealt with it. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk to other quarterbacks who were, you know, EJ Manuel is a really bright guy. He was obviously a former first round pick. We talked about this, how like when he got hurt with the Bills, you know, it's a different thing for you. How do you bounce back from it? A lot of quarterbacks, I'm not saying the main reason why the guys who are first round picks don't work out is always because they can't handle adversity. But that is a big part of it. And this guy, we know how he came through it. So, yeah, if you told me he went 13, I'd be like, yeah, I think that's a wise pick for that franchise.
That might, if he does go 13, and Chris, on our Overreaction Monday, one of your first subject matters was 5 in the first 20. And I'm like, that's not an overreaction. Yep. We got 5 in the first 13. I'm serious.
Yeah, I mean, look, JJ's a terrific athlete. Throws well on the run. You know, I get it. Some people are a little concerned. They think there's a, you know, I talked to one NFL coach who's like, thought he was a little bit more of a one-speed pitcher in terms of want to see him layer the ball and do some other things. Right. But like, great footwork. You know, he's a winner. He's a mentally strong kid. I think there's, you know, I could see him keep developing, and he threw it really well. I mean, the only one who probably threw it any better was Penix.
Yeah. I mean, Penix, I'd not seen throw in person. I was wowed.
Yeah,
honestly, every throw was beautiful. It was a work of art. I couldn't have been more impressed by what I saw. And I heard nothing but great things in the meeting rooms. By the way, out of all of them,
yeah,
I didn't hear any, and that includes Marvin Harrison Jr. Out of the top choices, I didn't hear any of like, well, he didn't interview very well. All of them.
No, you know? One guy who I heard anything like a little bit of a pause on is somebody who I'm like, I would have no doubts about that guy's character. I just think a couple of the questions this particular person got asked, I think were like, just like, you know, didn't, it was like kind of caught off guard by them and just like kind of gave an honest answer. But you know, everybody prepares for this process anyway. I wouldn't, you know, certain guys shine more than others. I would just say that.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Caleb Williams doing things differently. You're going to obviously hear that these are red flags, yeah. But you know him. When I met him and just saw him around, he was around. I mean, Saturday he was there. He was chilling out. He thanked all the people who ran the drills before at the end of the night. He stuck around the entire time. He was delightful, you know, yeah. Seemed to be a cheerful fellow, but there's definitely a sense that he's doing things differently, not going through a medical exam, not having an agent. He's going to speak to the Bills, the Bears after his pro day. They wanted to have him in today. They want him there today. They want to get in stuff with him right now. And he's like, no, I'll do it after my pro day. What can you lend as insight here about Caleb?
I definitely think there's a little bit of apprehension about how his dad is directing some of this. And I don't necessarily think that's fair to Caleb, but I think that perception is growing. You hear, you know, when you're an indie, you hear little stories of, and they're specific stories. I don't think there's stuff that just kind of gets made up about like, you know, somebody brought in, somebody to speak to the dad about something. And it was just like, the reaction was like, no, that's not how this works. And it's like, I think at some point you can think, hey, this is going to be what's best for us, but it doesn't, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work that way. And that shouldn't affect, I think, how teams view him. But I, like you said, there are things that are a little bit different, but I think some of the stuff that, you know, I don't think it should get like an undertow. Like when the term red flags, because I actually asked somebody that for the story I did on The Athletic yesterday, and it was like, and this person in the NFL was like, there are, you know, there's no red flags with him. There's no red flags. There's stuff that you're like, just like a lot of other top prospects, just probably like, you know, when Patrick came out or when Joe Burrow came out or even when Trevor Lawrence came out. I mean, there's always stuff people can nitpick.
Sure. And his last year's performance or his team's last year performance is the thing that it keeps getting brought up. Certainly with Jaden Daniels' last season's performance, obviously his team didn't, you know, get as far as they wanted either, but his personal performance. And Daniel Jeremiah keeps bringing up, well, don't forget, you know, Caleb had a better team. He had Jordan Addison in his season.
He had a better offensive line in 2022. Last year's offensive line was really bad.
Right. And the defense just
couldn't
do
anything.
Couldn't stop the cold. You know,
a wise man who we both know had said to me around midseason, I think Caleb's trying to hit a 5-run home run every time. And he's picked up some, I don't know if he's picked up bad habits, but there's times some of the coaches you talk to will say, you know, there's a lot of easy throws here. You can take them and get 20 yards instead of doing some of these other things where they may not work out. You know, again, we were at the Notre Dame game. It was a Saturday night game on the road. And obviously they struggled, but he really, you know, he was not sharp in that game. He had a couple of picks. And I just think, you know, no one's perfect at this stage. He's still really young. He does some remarkable things on film. You know, the Patrick Mahomes comparisons, I get why they're there because of the off-platform throws. Because, I mean, he's also kind of built similarly. He's just not quite as tall as Patrick, but he's a guy who can make crazy throws, can extend plays and improvise. The challenge, and DJ brought this up too, because I remember talking to him before the combine about, you know, those Texas Tech teams versus last year's USC team, bad offensive line, really bad defenses, was, you know, if you told me Caleb was going to Andy Reid, I'd be like, okay, that's going to work out great. You just don't know where he's going to end up.
He's going to Chicago. I think he is. You didn't get that sense?
I'm just saying, if you told me Andy Reid or somebody who is with quarterbacks and like that with offense and can make it work, I mean, you know, Anthony Richardson is freakishly talented. I think he end up with the ideal coach in Indianapolis.
Right.
Shane Steichen has shown he's really good with that. I don't know how many coaches, I know they're all like, it's fit though. I think a lot of it, I mean, some guys are going to be elite wherever they go.
Jaden Daniels with Kingsbury, right? Like that may be the winning fit.
Maybe. You know, again,
just off the top of your head,
he had two fantastic receivers.
McLaurin is not.
He's
up there too. He's in that element. That's the one thing the Commanders have. They've got the receivers right there.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to keep in mind too is the quarterbacks do make guys. I mean, when you were a Michigan fan, Nico Collins is next level compared to what he, you know, now in the
Correct.
NFL.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was a big recruit coming out of high school, but you didn't see this.
No doubt.
Right? So you could see it. You know, the quarterback can also bring receivers to another level. I don't know. I mean, I think Jaden Daniels got, dramatically better. But let's say there are five quarterbacks that go in the first 20.
Yes.
The odds are two, maybe three, are going to be big disappointments.
Well, take a look at, again, the last time we saw
the
quarterback.
Zach Wilson draft was.
That's it. I was about to say quarterback. It was Trevor Lawrence, who I'm already hearing people saying he's a disappointment based on him coming in. And it's like, listen, throw the first year out because Urban was a total disaster. Total, complete, unmitigated, worst ever disaster. And you don't have to, I understand I'm talking about a colleague, but it's the truth. And then the second year, you know, a disastrous first half in his first playoff game, overcomes that, makes the divisional round. This year they're 8-3 when I thought he was out for the season when he got hurt.
Right, I did too. Yes.
Right when they were 8-3. And you have to account for all of that. Christian Kirk going out too, that's like his BFF, that's his guy. But Zach and Trey Lance and Mac, and now here's Justin Fields. We're wondering where the hell he's going.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. You know, there's a lot of caveats.
Yeah. Now the Rosen draft the Rosen draft, cause he was the one who, and Sam Darnold obviously has been a disappointment, but then you got Lamar on the back end,
Josh Allen at the top.
And Baker has a second act looks really good too.
Right.
But it's, you know, if you hit 60%, you know, of the five, and I don't know who's going to be. I mean, some of it depends on circumstance.
Before I let you go, you got a good Chris Mortensen story. Everyone does in our business, certainly information individuals like yourself.
I do. So I have great admiration and respect for him because of how he paved the way for guys like me. Mm-hmm. Right. I wouldn't probably be in this in front of that if it wasn't for Chris Mortensen and probably Peter Gammons. And I'm grateful for.
You could throw Will McDonough in there too.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, absolutely.
From the Globe. I can't believe I said the Herald yesterday, but yeah.
So I mentioned Mort and Peter because I worked with them at ESPN and that part of it. So about a decade ago, when I had worked on a Mike Leach book, my career, I felt like, was in limbo at one point. I got sideways with ESPN. People know that story. One of the first people I heard from in Bristol, somebody had, you know, he reached out to me when my head was spinning. And it wasn't like we were that close. I knew him. You know, he'd been a good resource. Mm. But he reached out to me, and I later heard that he really went to bat for me with some high-up people.
No kidding.
Yeah. And said, you know, we can't afford to lose him, you know, whatever. And I really appreciated that because he didn't need to do that. And, you know, beyond that, over the years, I was like, this guy is incredibly gracious. And the thing that resonated with me, and DJ and I texted about this, and I made this point because obviously DJ, you know, is like family to him. But I said, in the business that I'm in, this particular field, where the insider space, it tends to breed and brings out pettiness. It brings out a lot of insecurity. It's human nature. I mean, look, there's a lot of stuff I'm like, wasn't thrilled with how I handled that or whatever. And a lot of times there's a lot of cattiness between insiders and how people react. And again, it's, you know, they don't always like each other. In fact, a lot of them hate each other, and it can be kind of cutthroat, and some of the stuff is not cool. And then you had him, who was such a resource and elevated people and encouraged them and supported them. And I know Mort was a big man of faith, and I suspect that had a big role for how he treated people and why human nature didn't get the worst of him the way it sometimes gets the worst of some of us, you know? And I have, you know, like, I know how I felt about Alex, his son, who I've gotten to know, who's a terrific young coach now at UAB. And so we talked about parenting stuff and, you know, I was crushed. I was out when I heard, and just thinking about, like, when I say he was the best, I mean, obviously he was a great reporter,
mm-hmm.
but just in terms of, like, I don't know of anybody who in that role was that good of a, not just a teammate, but of a colleague or a, you know, whatever, brethren, you know, in terms of, like, to other reporters, because that just doesn't happen. You know, I could go down the list and rattle off a bunch of names of people who are also insiders who either they hate each other or a lot of people hate them. They're good at their jobs, but it's like, if that job, and I say this because I can be guilty of it at times too, it tends to bring out the worst in you. Because you feel like you're always on call and you're staring at your phone and it's like this relationship or that relationship. And Mort was different. He just, you know, God bless him. He, you know, he was an example that very few people have been able to follow.
God bless him is right. Well said. Well said, brother. Thanks for coming on, Bruce. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
If you're up for it. Seriously. Sure. There's so much to talk about between now and the draft for sure with the college football world as well. Bruce Feldman, check him out in The Athletic and then obviously on Fox Sports when he's on there too. When we come back, the fastest man in the history of the combine, Xavier Worthy, will join us next on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Game Time tickets, people. It's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for events near you. Right now, all users get $100 off when they buy a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Game Time is the ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. I get to see the view from my seat before I buy with Game Time tickets. I also have all-in prices with Game Time tickets. Shows you your total up front before you buy. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Right now, all Game Time users get $100 off a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Just download the Game Time app and use code VEGAS100 for $100 off a big game ticket. Or if you're not going to the game, use code EISEN, EISEN, for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
You told a story about the genesis of All Right, All Right.
Yes.
All Right.
Here's where that comes from. So, okay. Dazed and Confused.
Yes. Genius film.
I'm in the right bar at the right time. Mm-hmm. And a guy goes, "Hey, you ever done any acting? You might be right, just right for this part." Legendary cast director and producer Don Phillips. I come back. And they do what's called a makeup and wardrobe test, meaning they're shooting another scene one night. I'm just going to show up. Director's going to step off the set and come and look and go, "Great, I approve." Well, he comes and looks. He goes, "Geez, this is Wooderson. It's great." He goes, "Listen, you're not scheduled to work tonight, but we're over here at the Top Notch drive through, and you think Wooderson might want to pick up on the redheaded intellectual, Jake?" And I'm like, "Sure." And he goes, "Want to shoot it?" I'm like, "Sure." So I go get in the car. About to shoot my first scene ever in a film.
Of your career?
Of my career. And I had been listening to a lot of 70s rock and roll at that time. And there was a certain live recording of a Jim Morrison concert in like Amsterdam or somewhere where he barks at the crowd, "All right, all right, all right, all right," four times, real aggressively though. I'm not thinking about that, but this comes back. So I'm in the car and I'm like, "Who's my man?" I'm nervous. I'm about to hear act. "Who's my man? Who's Wooderson?" I said, "Well, I'm about my car." And I go, "Well, I'm in my 70 Chevelle." Yes. "There's one." Mm-hmm. I said, "I'm about getting high." I said, "Well, Slater's riding shotgun. You know he's got a Dubois rolled up." "There's two." And I said, "And I'm about rock and roll." And I said, "Well, I got Nugent, Stranglehold in the 8-track, man." "There's three." And I hear action. And I look up and in my mind, I go, and I'm about chicks. I got 3 out of 4. Let's go get the 4th. All right, all right, all right. Wow. That was it.
So
first words I ever said on screen.
Fantastic. That's the old Minister of Culture in Austin. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. In this job that I get to do here, in addition to NFL Network, I am thrilled when I'm able to do what I'm about to do, which is tell somebody what they did on a field in their performance was one of the most thrilling moments for me as a broadcaster. I don't get a chance to do that, but I'm thrilled to be able to do that right now with Texas Longhorn Xavier Worthy right here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of his performance at the NFL Scouting Combine. What a pleasure to see you, Xavier. Thanks for zooming in.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for zooming out on Saturday night. I mean, my goodness, did you wake up fast? Did you wake up that day and say, I'm going to be as fast as I know I can be?
Yeah, I woke up. I actually been saying the whole time I was going to run like 4.25. And the first one I ran 4.25.
Yes.
That's when I knew I was probably going to break the record, because when I've been working out, I usually run something slower than my first one. Then I run faster my second one.
So, because we caught that, once you ran your 4.25, Xavier, our camera crew followed you back to the starting end zone where the rest of your group and your colleagues were there, and we caught them showing you, I guess, your run on the phone. Is that what they did?
Yeah.
Is that what was happening?
Yeah.
Right. And one of them said, we overheard it saying, take your shoes off. Did you hear that too?
Yeah.
So why didn't you take your shoes off?
Man, because I knew I could go faster, and I knew I was so close to the record. So I was like, shoot, I'm just going to call my trainer and tell him I'm trying to get the record. He was like, go get it.
So, yeah, you call your trainer? Is that what you did?
Yeah, I called my trainer.
And what was the conversation?
I just asked him. I was like, you think I should go grab the record? He was like, how do you feel? I was like, I said, shoot, I still feel good. I feel fine. You know, I normally run faster than the second one. He was like, yeah, I think go get it. And he was just telling me, like, just shoot out of it. And I shot out of it, but I got it.
Well, you shot out of it after Mark Gorsuch, the starter, whistled you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened there, Xavier?
I feel like he told me that I had a rolling start. So I brought my hand up and just took off right as soon as I brought my hand up. So he told me to take my time.
Okay. So did that, you know, did you have to collect yourself after that?
No, not really. Once I was out there, that was kind of like my warm-up start. I'm like, okay, I got that start out of the way, because I feel like that wasn't a good start. So after that start, I'm like, I'm going to walk back. And I just got back down, went again.
Did you feel faster?
I did. I feel like if I had another one, I probably would have got faster. I feel like I was faster.
You could have petitioned for that. I'll tell you what. There were 16,000 customers in the stands who wanted to see that. That's for sure. So yeah. Did you hear the crowd?
When I was lining up, I actually heard them. I'm like, oh, shoot, this is crazy. Like, this is a crazy moment. I've never, ever watched a combine and heard of, like, a crowd cheering, like, before somebody started running.
Yeah, that's true. And there was also, after Mark Gorsuch whistled you for the rolling start.
Yeah, they booed him.
They did.
They booed him.
They groaned and booed. They booed. I've never seen a starter booed before. That happened
on Saturday.
Never seen them. And then, if you don't mind, walk me through, once you crossed the 40-yard line, what happened?
Just knowing that I did it, it's another thing. Like, trying to do it and, like, just doing it. But it's another thing, experiencing it, actually, like, really looking at the board and just, you did it. Like, a record broken at the combine. You watch the combine as a kid all the time and say, like, oh, I want to go in there and run the fastest 40 ever. But that's really never a reality. But having a reality to go in there and do that is just, it's different. It's crazy. And then with that crowd, it was crazy.
Yeah, the crowd. Because you, as soon as you crossed, you sort of, like, waved everybody sort of on with you. You ran around. You kept running. I think you ran another 40 yards.
couldn't slow down.
Exactly right. I also noticed one of the first people up to you, J.J. McCarthy and Roman Wilson. Did you know them from your time that you were at Michigan?
Yeah. We still were kind of associates, you know what I'm saying? So it was never no bad blood, always love sure. on that man.
Right. And so then, Xavier Worthy, by the way, here on the Rich Eisen Show, it was about 10 minutes till I got the official times sent to me. And all week long, the official times were 1/100th of a second, a little bit faster than what our hand time was that you saw up on the screen after you crossed the finish line. And I started wondering, if this is 1/100th of a second faster officially, we just saw the fastest 40-yard dash in the history of the combine. So how did you learn that you had, in fact, done that?
It's actually a video that recorded it. I took off running when he told me. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Like just hearing, like, I have the record for the NFL combine and like, just watching as a kid, like I said, it's just crazy. It's one, like I said, it's one thing to do it. It's one thing to say it and nothing to even do it. So I feel like it's just crazy.
Okay. Who'd you hear from when you started looking down at your phone? Who'd you hear from?
I heard it from TJ. He told me they recorded it. Actually put it on Instagram for the NFL. They put it on Instagram. It actually wasn't a 4.22. It was a 4.21. I took it off running.
Mm-hmm. That's great. But I mean, who else did you hear from after the official record was done? Like who started texting you? Who was reached out to you to congratulate you?
My mom actually called me. I called my mom and told her, I was like, I think I read 4.21. She was like, she started crying. She started yelling and stuff like that. So it was cool.
How did that feel?
It was amazing just to be able to do that. And my mom watched it from home. She wanted to come to combine, but she can't. She watched from home with my little sisters, my aunt, and my friends from here. So just to be able to do that and being from where I'm from, Fresno, California, kind of been overlooked a lot. Just to be able to do that, I feel like it was huge, a huge moment for me and for my city.
I don't know if this is I'll just take a shot here. I don't know the answer. Do you know Devontae Adams? Do you have any relationship with him at all?
No, I don't have any relationship.
Okay, well, we gotta fix this up. I mean, he's Mr. Fresno, isn't he? Isn't he Mr. Fresno, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, he went to Fresno State. Yeah.
Fresno State, sure. Okay. So, also, I saw on X, Matthew McConaughey, the Minister of Culture himself, tweeted out, wow, hashtag hook 'em.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool when that happens.
Yeah, he was at a lot of games this year. He went to a lot of games this year.
He was. Okay, so let's get into your future and where we can go from here. Who did you speak with at the combine? Who interviewed you?
Spoke with about like 23-24 teams.
Wow.
I don't know all of them, but I had a lot of formal interviews. I feel like I really knocked them out. My main goal was for the interviews just to have teams look at me differently as a football player. I feel like everybody known I had the speed, but I feel like a lot of people don't know that I have the smarts that come with the speed and the ability to actually do everything, you know what I'm saying?
So how did you go about making sure you got that across, Xavier?
So whenever they call, kind of, you know, teams in the interviews, they kind of put you on the board. They have you break down your film. So in the interviews, I was breaking down what the O-line did, what the running back had, what tight ends had, every receiver had, where the ball should have went, what coverage it was. And whenever they asked me what, actually, for their interviews, they normally, a lot of interviews, they kind of give you a play before the actual interview starts. And then I ask you about your life and ask you about your film. So I did all that. And then at the end of the interview, they ask you, what was the play we gave you? And I feel like I knocked all that out of the park. So that's what I wanted to show teams.
Okay, so they give you play for you to sort of absorb, then get your mind off that by asking all sorts of other questions to try and get under the hood and then to see what the motor's about, because we know your motor on the field. And then they come back around and ask you about the play thinking you've forgotten about it. That's what you're saying? Okay. They couldn't get you on that one, right? They didn't.
Not at all. I feel like I'm not all of it out of the park. Okay. Every detail.
I like it. All right. Let me just run through a couple teams here. Did you speak with the Bears? Did the Bears chat with
you? Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that. Did you speak with the Jets? Did you speak with the Jets?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you speak with the Raiders?
Yep.
did they call you after the run too? Because you know their history is about speed. You know that.
They didn't call me at the run. I actually didn't get a lot of calls at the run from teams. I just kind of got like texts from my agent. My ex was showing my tech agent was showing me the texts and stuff.
Okay. Did you speak to the Steelers? The Steelers speak to you?
No, I actually had an informal with them. No, I didn't speak with them.
Okay. How about the world champion Kansas City Chiefs? Did you have a meeting with them?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You know that was actually my first time seeing Andy Reid in person. He looks exactly how he does.
Yes.
Did you tell him that?
Yeah, I did. That was my first time really seeing him. So like, I play a lot of Madden. So he looks exactly like he does at Madden. That's crazy.
Lifelike, huh? More than everyone else that you met, Andy Reid was spot on.
Okay. Yeah, spot on.
I love that. All right. And last one, if you don't mind for me, Xavier, I don't know if you're aware, but I run the 40-yard dash myself. I do it for charity for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. I do it in my suit. I've been doing it for 20 years. Any advice for me on how to get faster?
You're running it. When are you running this?
I run it in April at the Rose Bowl. I used to do it at the Combine all the time to the point where they have my fastest run of 5.96. I know. I got it.
Look.
I saw that too. I picked up on that, TJ. It's okay. I get it a lot.
He was like,
it's 20 years I've done this. All good. But they use that and they simulcam me over faster runners like yourself. They gave me an 8-yard head start on the simulcam and you still caught me. You still got me. So yeah, your 32-yard dash is faster than my 40. So put it this way, you're fast. Any what advice would you have? Just in general, Xavier.
Come out low when you hit 15, 20 yards. Start getting up tall. It's just a race to the finish.
Okay, so come out low, then what? The 20s just pop up. Just get up.
No. Gradually come up, and it's just a race to the finish.
And then just a race to the finish. And my hands are like what? Like this, right? Like I'm eating a potato chip or something like that, or what?
Not when you run it, it's just like fingers open.
Fingers open.
Fingers open.
All right, but definitely not. don't fist it up. Is what you're saying? Don't do that.
Nah, don't fist it up.
I just need to know how my second runs faster. That's go for a third. That's bad news normally. Hey, Xavier, what a pleasure. Honestly, I've done 20 combines for NFL Network, and that was the most exhilarating moment. And the crowd going crazy and your reaction to it, you not taking 4.25 as good enough, going back out there, doing it again, and then beating it was truly unbelievable. And I'm thrilled I have a chance to say thank you for that. Awesome.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you for the call, Xavier Worthy. You be well. Let's chat. Let's check in again soon, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
You got
it. Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. Same to you. At Worthy with two other Ys at the end of his name on Instagram. Xavier Worthy here on the Rich Eisen Show. That was nice. Delightful.
That's awesome.
So cool, I mean, man. If you had to guess the one coach in the NFL who looks exactly like his Madden figure, the odds would be what? For Andy Reid would be the odds on favorite, right?
You have to say so.
But right? How funny is that? You look just like the guy in Madden. It's uncanny. Oh my God.
Legend, man. So funny. Andy Reid is a big guy. Right. He's huge. He's like 6'3".
But he's like, I've never met Andy Reid before, and he looks just like he does in Madden. That is so funny.
Ever tell you when the first time funny. I met Andy Reid, I got introduced to him as he was still the Eagles coach.
Yes.
And I was like, let you know I'm a Cowboys fan. And he looked at me and he just growled at me, but he reached out his hand to shake it. He was like,
first time,
this guy's amazing.
First time I met Andy Reid, year two of NFL Network. He's the Super Bowl coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's coming on NFL Total Access live. Okay. First year we recorded all of the interviews for NFL Total Access later that night. And we started getting so many interviews in our first Super Bowl. They started expanding how long Total Access was to fit everyone in because we picked everyone off. We had a dynamite first year of the Super Bowl to the point where other networks were goal hanging to try and pick off our guests. But that's for another day. Year two, though, we just decided We had so many great interview opportunities in our first Super Bowl. We're just going live all afternoon, which is, you know,
a lot of TV.
But honestly, the next time, if I ever do a half-hour television show, I will not know what to do to myself. Yeah,
you don't get warmed up until about hour two.
Honestly, I look at some of my highly outstanding Hall of Fame colleagues that do 1 hour on Sundays, and I'm like, really? Just one, huh? And I know they hang out for the rest of the day to do updates. It's a long day.
But be
that as it may, I'm built for this sort of speed here.
You're built different, Rich.
Okay, so we did like hours of shows. Andy Reid came in the middle live, and he showed up in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
Of course.
Yep.
I mean, it was, you know, Jacksonville. It's Duval County. It was a nice day. He showed up and was just chill, and I honestly thought to myself in the middle of this interview, this is a head coach in the NFL? Honestly, because it's just back in that time in the early aughts, you're talking about some serious hard asses in the history of the game, you know?
Wake up at 4, leave the office at 12.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and I'm sure he does that too. But I just thought to myself, because I didn't know Mariucci yet. I had no insight into who Reed was at all.
Right.
At all. But I just remember that. Just like thinking in the middle of the interview, I'm like, this guy's a head coach in the NFL with his shorts and his Hawaiian shirt and his just chill manner of fact. And
he's not gruff. He's not yelling at you.
Dude, he is going to the HOF first ballot.
That's a given.
And can confirm through Xavier Worthy, looks just like the guy in Madden.
That's
fantastic.
Amazing.
I mean, that's a lot of uniqueness to work with.
It's funny.
And they don't dot them up, right? They just try and create it.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
He's going to have a great bus.
All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. We have reached the part of the NBA season where everybody thinks the Lakers can win it all again. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
I did not approve this, but that's part of me delegating to you, our social media grandmaster. You put out on Instagram a photograph. It says breaking Bears trading for Russell Wilson. And what's today's date?
It is April 1st, Rich.
And that is what? It is April Fool's Day. So it's 5 minutes to air, and I have my phone's on the desk and it's buzzing, and
yeah.
And I see it is it's Jeff Garland. Is the caller there? Is the caller there on the Rich Eisen?
Jeff from Chicago.
What's funny about it? Nothing's funny about it. Nothing is funny about it. Our friend Doug Robinson texts me.
Yes.
Capital Russell Wilson. He says, you know, Rich doesn't usually get the scoops. Adam Schefter should be on this. Well, that should have made me suspicious.
Yeah.
But no, I have so much respect for the Rich Eisen Show that I know that they have connections that nobody else has.
That's true.
Well, you know what, Rich? I'm not going to swear. But I got to tell you, your little social media boy, he's going to get his. Oh, my God.
TJ, do you have anything to say to Jeff Garland?
Yeah. Happy April Fool's Day.
All right. Hey, TJ, you don't know what you've brought down on yourself. You don't even have a clue. I'm ready for the power that I have, especially in practical jokes. I'm going to nail you so hard.
Pause.
You know what? I hope you enjoy your testicles right now because they're going to disappear.
No, but I need them.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Just goes to show you, 3 years ago, Bears fans were like, Russell Wilson's coming. We're
they're excited.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
It is about us, for sure. Turzo and I have been hanging on for a while. What's up, Turzo?
Turzo.
All right.
What's up, guys? Hey, Rich, I kind of got a funny story for you. So you guys are talking about speed there with Worthing being on. I was driving out to a small county here on Friday. I might have been going a little over the speed limit. I come up over a hill, and I go to pass this all-blacked-out SUV, and I happen to look down and happen to see the sheriff's license plate. And I'm probably going about 20 over. And at that point, I'm just like, well, I don't think I need to really slow down too much more. So I get in front of him. He pulls me over. Obi sitting in the front seat with his seatbelt on. Officer comes out. Say, officer, man, really sorry. Just really busy court day out in Creston. He looks at me, looks at my ID, and he says, Terzo, you practice out here in Adair County too, don't you? I was like, yeah. And he's like, man, will you just slow down? And he sends me on my way. First time I used a lawyer card to get out of it.
Hey.
I thought you were going to drop our name. That's what I was going to be honest.
Oh, dude.
I thought he was going to say, I heard you on the show.
I thought about it, Brockman, because if it was later in the day and you guys were on the radio, I'd be like, hey, you know who this is?
Next thing you know, he's going to be dodging the Salamanca family up there in Iowa. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and Rich, when you guys were talking about Russell Wilson, like, I had so much respect for him when he was in Seattle, and I hated having to play him twice, maybe three times a year, because he was that guy. And it has been crazy seeing that downfall.
Unreal.
And everything that you guys have talked about today of not really knowing where he might be able to end up is so crazy to me.
It is nuts, Turzo. And thanks for the call, brother. You be well. It's Turzo and Oil. It's nuts. I that's why I started the show saying I cannot believe what has happened to Russell Wilson. It's one of the biggest mysteries in the history of my tenure with NFL Network, 20-plus years. Name me another guy who was 9 years Hall of Fame and then 3 years not, and now is it associated with being the subject of the worst trade in the history of the NFL, accruing the largest dead cap charge in the history of the NFL?
And the conversation that he might have played his way out of the Hall of Fame based on his last 3 years.
Which is why you get him, you're going to get a guy with a huge chip on his shoulder, and that might not matter. And you're also getting somebody who's going to be playing for nothing.
Going to be 36 this fall.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Guess you all can't be LeBron James or Tom Brady, right? Where you age and you get better and you get better and you get better. Well, and every year, it seems, in the NBA these days, where the Lakers have large expectations placed upon them, the pressures of needing to win because their all-world, all-time great GOAT has a closing window of opportunity, and will they be able to win one more with him? And then everybody starts rooting against him. They have a flash of brilliance in December. Then the rest of the season begins to slog on. And you're wondering, what are they going to do with the trade deadline? And they do nothing, which pisses off their all-time GOAT, or you're thinking it might. And then at some point, when they're staring in the face in recent days of potentially having to play their way into the playoffs, they catch fire. And everybody talks about another Larry O'Brien trophy coming to Los Angeles. I believe we have reached that point in the NBA season.
Who is saying this?
LeBron is. Oh, just listen to any Laker fan. Just go listen to him. Get the car flag. And take a look at ESPN in the mornings. They're now 5 over. They've won 7 of 10. LeBron is playing his head off.
Head off, yeah.
And last night, The Thunder.
Kind of smoke go, them.
Listen, the final score is not indicative. I mean, the Thunder, I thought they were holding him to under 100 points, and nobody does that to the Thunder. The Thunder average almost 120 points a game. Mm-hmm. And they're playing defense. That's the Lakers you're talking about. The defensive end sparking the offensive end. D'Angelo Russell playing some of his best basketball of his career right now. And this happened just on the heels of, you know, Anthony Davis disappearing against the Denver Nuggets and getting lit up by Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins. What did Perk say that Anthony Davis showed more attitude and anger towards them pregame than he did in the game on Saturday?
Yeah.
What do you mean, who's saying it?
I
Shannon Sharpe said today.
Yeah, but
they would sweep the Thunder in a seven-game series.
Shannon Sharpe's LeBron's number one fan. Of course he's
on
say that.
He's on the biggest platform on sports television.
Okay, well, it doesn't mean he's right.
But for you to say who's saying it?
Shannon Sharpe. But then did you see JJ Redick this morning absolutely dismantle?
Well, you said it doesn't matter how many games you win a seven-game series in.
Well, he broke it down a little. Oh,
I'm just saying. We're at that part. Let me see. The Lakers are just a game behind the Mavericks, 1.5 behind the Kings, 2 behind the Suns. So there's that.
Are you gonna say they're gonna go back to the conference finals?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying we're in that part of the season
where people are saying.
Well, I'm not just saying. I don't.
Okay.
I'm not gonna sit here and say the Lakers are going back to the conference finals, but they play like this. They can. You don't think? LeBron out of his skull. Anthony Davis. D'Angelo Russell's a third man in. They play defense, and their bench actually contributes. And then we're not even talking about the game where Austin Reeves starts playing like Jerry West, which happens. You know it.
They're not going to have home court.
Rui Hachimura, two-way threat.
They had 24 bench points the last game.
I get it. It's up and down. That's why they're inconsistent. But we've reached the part of the calendar year where the Laker flags are everywhere in this town.
Flags. Oh, the car flags out.
Hour 3 coming up.
She's saying this is Bo
Bridges coming out.
Right now, Lakers Warriors playing.
Dun, 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 dun. Hey, brother.
Well, we already discussed. We both picked the Lakers in that, right?
I think so. But then you're going to take them to beat the T-Wolves right now?
Lakers have won 7 of 10.
Oh, man.
You know who else has won 7 of 10 in the Western Conference?
Who?
Your top three teams.
Yep. Yeah, Nuggets are catching fire right
now. Nuggets have won 6 in a row.
6 in a row, yeah.
We're all, I think, going to have to see how your team finishes up. They keep destroying people when Porzingis isn't playing and then Jaylen Brown doesn't play. And then
Banner 18 is coming. You guys got to get ready.
Oh, my goodness. He's already talking.
Rich, he's got some
bold
thoughts,
man. I know. He's saying stuff
man.
Off the air. He's saying stuff off the air. He's yet to bring on the air.
We don't have enough time left in this hour.
He has not brought it on the air yet.
They used
what are you waiting for?
Too early. It's too
what are you
early.
Waiting for?
It's too early.
You know what's going to happen?
Too early.
What's that?
Here's when he's going to bring this on the air.
It's too early.
When the Patriots don't do the right thing in the draft.
I'm going to lose my mind.
And the Red Sox come out of the gate looking like he expects them to come out of the gate.
Well, Lucas Giolito's already out for
I heard
season,
that.
So I'm already spiraling.
So, all right.
I'm already
that's
spiraling
what I'm saying.
The Red Sox
so I'm
train.
That's going to start spinning him up. And he's going to use the Celtics looking dominant. To just get it all out there. It's coming. You are smiling because you know it's coming.
I've heard it. All I know is our friends in Germany, when they hear this, are not going to believe what he believes.
All right.
The duck boat.
Bo Bridges, Hour 3, Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. And Dak talking about his contract.
Here we go.
Movies, TV shows, books, podcasts, and more. It's What Women Binge with Melissa Joan Hart and her friend Amanda Lee.
We have Lauren Bosworth with us.
Yay!
The Hills. So what is like your number one question from fans?
The primary question I still get asked was, "What is it real?" In 2024, to me, is a surprising question to get because I feel like everybody has been through the reality TV gauntlet at this point.
What Women Binge, wherever you listen.